reliable car that everybody could afford. In 1903, in a small factory, Henry founded the Ford Motor Company. 5 years later, he introduced the world to the legendary Model T.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Detroit, Michigan at the Ford Paquette Avenue plant. Henry Ford's first purpose-built auto assembly factory constructed back in 1904. This is where the Model T was born and sparked the advent of the age of the automobile. Come along and join Nancy Darga, executive director of the Model T Automotive Heritage Complex. Ford's Paquette Avenue plant is a National Historic Landmark and a part of the National Park Service's Motor City's National Heritage Area, encompassing more than 10,000 square miles in southeastern and central Michigan. Afterwards, we'll visit with Cynthia Jones, general manager for the Ford Dearborn Rouge River F-150 Truck Assembly Plant Public Tours. The Rouge is where the past meets the future. Since 1927, the Rouge has been a mainstay final assembly facility, producing an incredible array of legendary models throughout the decades, including the Mustang and T-Bird. Today, robots work side by side with UAW assembly workers making F-150 trucks.
Well, hello. I'm Nancy Darga, the executive director of the Ford Paquette Avenue plant here in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is where the Model T started.
Yes, it was conceived and first launched here in 1908. The first models actually hit the market in 09.
So this was the extent of the whole Ford empire, then, a physical plant.
This was the first plant or factory that Henry Ford built for the Ford Company. He rented to previous places, but as you know, he went belly up in those two ventures, so this was his first successful place here. Now, he made 8 alphabet cars here, and he ultimately produced 45,000 cars, but the Model T was the car that actually changed everything, and he produced 12,000 of them here before he went to Highland Park.
There's an old euphemism you hear, and supposedly Henry Ford said you can get a Ford in any color you want as long as it's black.
Correct, he did. That's part of his motto, where he was simplifying production so that he could make the car affordable, and also he could get a car assembled in less than an hour.
Truly, every Ford at that period of time that came off the assembly line, they were all black.
Yes, when they went into the automated assembly line at Highland Park, it was you can get any color you want as long as it was black. And it was kind of funny because at that time, Chrysler and the other cars were making very bright, colorful colors. But he was into his model of simplifying production and making it affordable to the masses. So in this building, we say the revolution started because Henry, all the other auto pioneers were going into luxury, very expensive cars. Henry, being a farmer, was simplifying it. And he also wanted people not only to own the car, but be able to fix it themselves. So if you're here at the Paquette plant, we can show you the whole evolution of his motor from Model N and then his prototype for the Model T and then eventually his Model A. So it's very fun here. And we also have one where the kids can actually crank it and get a chance to make the motor go.
And at the Ford Museum where we're at, the kids can assemble a Model T. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. And I'm so glad that they introduced that because I really think we need to inspire our youth. The difference about our building is that we are the original. So when you come here, don't wear nice clothes. It's a factory. We actually allow the kids to touch the motor and actually crank the motor and do stuff. So they actually get their hands on the metal and the oil and the everything. But they love it. And I'm talking about kids of all ages because I have some white-haired and gray-haired kids here too.
They can't keep their hands off either.
Yeah, they got to play with that motor. So it's very, very fun.
Yeah. So tell us what somebody would see and experience here.
If you came to the Paquette plant, You would think that you just went through a time machine and stepped onto the wooden floors that Henry Ford himself walked on, and James Cousin and Spider Hoff and all of those guys who revolutionized manufacturing in America, actually in the whole world. So when you come here, you're back in time to the original.
And even literally where we are right now is a back office, mm-hmm. and they're the original brick walls and the old
timbers.
Yeah, it's palpable, like a time trip, like you said.
It is definitely a time trip. Sometimes when I'm here alone at night, I hear feet creaking. Mm-hmm. Henry was known to pace the floor and be here all night long thinking of things. And I think, you know, Nancy, you're sitting in the same spot Henry sat in when he was trying to improve, let's say, the coil box or something like that. So it can be very emotional. I've seen people actually come here and cry. We have had people journey here from since 2013 when I started keeping records from 76 countries.
Wow.
This was the epicenter of manufacturing in the turn of the century. This is the Silicon Valley of America back in the early 1900s. So we don't think it's off the beaten path because it's right on Woodward. Right. We got the new train line coming in. Mm-hmm. We're surrounded by the original factories that actually revolutionized and put the whole world on wheels.
Pretty amazing. Back to what somebody would see and experience. I look down the hallway and there's a whole room full of vehicles.
There's about 51 vehicles here at any given time. We're always full of surprises because people bring us stuff all the time. Last year, we were given from an anonymous donor an indefinite loan of one of the rarest Model Ts around. It's called 220 because that's its VIN number. It came from Oregon, and it's got a two-pedal, and it's considered one of the oldest Model Ts with all its original parts.
And how did that survive? In some guy's barn? Or
it was bought in an auction. It's not in its original paint because it's been restored, but it is considered one of the most complete Model Ts from 1909. We have also the early cars that were manufactured in Detroit. So we have a Regal, which has an underslung motor. We have a Brush. We have Flanders. We have Hup. We have an early Dodge, because most people don't realize that John and Horace Dodge were Henry's original business partners in this building. And then we have a Studebaker, because Studebaker bought the building and then used it to 1933. When Henry outgrew the building. The original railroad tracks are still behind the building that they used to push the cars onto, and it's sensory overload. I have so many photographers always begging to come and take pictures here, but it's a very special place. It's a National Historic Landmark. It was designated that in 2006. I can't begin to tell you, there's so many characters that actually started their own automobile businesses out of this building when they worked for Henry. So it's a real rare legacy that we hope to preserve and pass on to the next generation so it can inspire them to work with their hands and make things.
I love it. What are some of the other things that somebody would see here and experience? How many floors do you have?
Okay, so we have three floors, and we have a theater that has a national award-winning movie. So you would come in and see a movie. We have Henry Ford's original office in here. We have a prototype stationary assembly. These cars were still handmade back here. We have some of the original lathes and pulleys that were in the building. Floors, the walls, the beams, they're all original. The cars vary from 40 to 51. We hope to get up to 60 cars. We have a lot coming in here. You also have some of the coolest tour guides I've ever worked with.
And what makes them so cool and special?
Well, first of all, the history just oozes from their pores.
They live it.
Yeah, and most of them are engineers. So if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of how the evolution of design of the car is, these guys can tell you things that you didn't even know existed about a car.
This is really where he refined and improved the assembly line process, right?
No, he did that at Highland Park. This okay. is where he... He had stationary assembly here, and it was taking him about 10 to 12 hours to make a car. Ed Martin came in, and he started looking at a production model that they got an order for 12,000 cars, and they couldn't wait 10 to 12 hours to make it. He got that production way under that, like within a couple hours. And they actually broke the world manufacturing record here in 1908 by making 101 cars in one day. That's pretty phenomenal for hand assembly.
And what sort of number of employees did it take to do that?
He started out with, I believe, somewhere around 30 people, and he ended up just under 1,700 when he left here. So you can see that it was growing very rapidly. He put in his own power plant. He ended up buying this whole black section of the city, and he had a lot of outbuildings that he was working with in addition to this building. Now, this building is patterned after an old textile mill. So it has big bay windows and huge beams and hickory floors and maple topping and all that. When he went to Highland Park, he went to all concrete and steel. This is about 67,000 square feet that back up to a railroad at Highland Park right down the road. It was over 1 million square feet, and the railroad went right down the middle of the building. So you can see it was a huge jump for him.
How long did it take him until, what was it, 20s or 30s, he had 100,000 employees?
Yes. When they announced the $5 a day in 1914, that totally changed the whole game plan.
Doubled the wages.
Yeah, people were making about $2.50 to $2.60 a day, working about 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. He introduced the 8-hour workday. He introduced a 40-hour week. He introduced the $5 a day. I'm going to say he, but he had James Cousin. He had business people that made this arrangement with him. And they did it for a real simple reason is they wanted more than one shift. So they wanted to make cars around the clock. So that's when they had to actually increase production, was to actually decrease the amount of hours one shift worked. So he could keep his machinery, especially when he automated it, he could keep his machinery running around the clock. It allowed them to work less hours and be able to sustain their lifestyle. And what really is important is they didn't leave the company. There wasn't such a huge turnover.
So the loyalty went up.
There was a little more loyalty to it. And the other thing I kind of think about is they could buy the product they were making. So
he wanted them to be able to do.
And that's where we say that revolution started, because his whole concept was making the car for the masses versus for the elite. And he wanted the masses to be able to buy the car. So if you go up to our third floor, you're going to see one of the most beautiful Model Ts you'll ever see in the world. Her name is Elizabeth. We show her off. She's very flirtatious, so don't get too close to her. Basically, Elizabeth was over $900. When Henry gets over to Highland Park and starts standardizing it, he gets that car under $300.
Wow.
So you can see he really, really brought that cost of that car. Now, those cars are, you know, your, I call them the workhorse cars. They're black, you know, they have a very simple motor, you know.
Utilitarian.
They're utilitarian cars. Elizabeth, she's a grand dame, you know. She's like something you would show off.
Very cool. Nancy, thanks for sharing.
Thank you for coming.
For further information,
Ford, F-O-R-D, Piquette, P-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, plant, PLANT.org.
I'm Cynthia Jones. I'm the general manager for the Ford Rouge factory tour here at the Dearborn Truck Plant. And you are right now standing almost on the border of Southwest Detroit and Dearborn, right on the edge of Detroit, in a very historic complex.
I was going to say, this goes way back.
This goes way back. So Henry Ford bought the land that became the Rouge back in 1915. And we've been a functioning auto factory of various kinds pretty much since 1917, so we're almost 100 years old.
Uh-huh. And then mid-latter 20th century, Mustang was built here.
We've had so many classics here. So the Thunderbird was built here, the Mustang was built here. Today we're building, you know, America's best-selling vehicle, F-150 trucks.
So this entire gigantic plant is just one model of Ford, the F-150, right?
So right now, the Rouge complex is almost entirely F-150. Our engine plant is actually producing for another vehicle because they don't have the capacity to keep up with us. So we actually get our engines in from Lima, Ohio. But other than that, the Rouge complex is almost entirely dedicated to the F-150.
So this is the 21st iteration and reincarnation of Henry Ford's
original mass production model.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the cool current things that happen here on that moving platform.
So, you know, every day I'm from a history museum, right? So every day I get to sit here and think, what would Henry think about this today? What I think he would be amazed by is that we still value people. We still really use his philosophy that people are the ones who can see things to build quality. So while we're using a lot of high-tech robotics, we consider our people the number one resource here. And they're the ones, and we still do a white glove test at the end of the line. Literally, they put on white gloves and they feel the truck inside and out. They will catch things that are fancy robots that are looking with laser measurements and laser guidance. They may not see. And so we still do that balance. One of the coolest stations that I think is here, we adapted a video gaming system for part of the back bed of the truck construction. So in that position, you used to have to bend over all day long, reach inside the back of the truck. You know, I'm in my mid-40s. I'm starting to feel a little lower back issue. I wouldn't want to be bending over all day long, 600 times a day, to install bolts. So our engineering team said, there's a better way. There's got to be a better way to do this. They were looking at how their kids use video games. And they said, oh, ding, ding, ding. What if we used a video gaming system so you could see the video of where you need to put your tools? We connect it with thumb controllers so that you can actually run the tooling with your thumbs. You watch the video screen, you slide your piece of equipment into place, you press the button, boom, you're done.
Wow, so it's almost remote control.
It's almost remote control, yeah. But it is really still about the human saying, this is right, this is not right, do I approve, do I not approve?
Some examples of your employees that are your best and brightest kind of idea people.
Oh my gosh. So the employees are so engaged. One of my favorite things that's come about in this facility in the last few years, every single team on the line where they're building, they all have a line supervisor. One of the line supervisors brought his family on tour. And so we're at a different perspective, right? We're 16 feet over the line. You see things a little differently up here. That line supervisor went back and he said to HR, you know what I think needs to happen? Can you call up the factory tour and can we once a month take a tour? Can we see the line from the perspective that the guests see the line? So every month, very early in the morning, because these guys start at 4:30 in the morning, they take a tour and they see the factory from a different perspective and they do it as a team. You know, I can't point to specific things that's changed, but I know it has changed things.
Right.
It's
what's a typical shift that an employee works? How many hours per day, days per week?
So these employees work hard. We work on a 3-crew pattern, 7 days a week operation. An employee starts their day and they know they're going to be here at least 10.7 hours. And then if we need to run a little overtime, they're going to be here closer to 11 hours. They work 4 days a week, almost 11 hours a day. They get a 12-minute break every 2 hours and a 28-minute lunch.
That's a short, tight lunch.
That's the short lunch, it's a short break.
And what would be an average wage that somebody would earn?
So UAW contract, we're in a two-tier system. Our starting wage is around $16 an hour. Most of our employees are actually much longer-term employees with Ford, so they're higher than that.
So they do, what, 25, 28?
My guess would be around 25. Yeah. I actually don't know for sure.
And how about a guy that's been here for years and years? What?
It's the
what
same.
Might
so
you just top out.
Yep, so you top out. So you're at tier one or you're at tier two.
But they have nice benefit package.
I think they have a pretty good benefit package. One of my favorites is they have an on-site health club.
Oh, wow.
Because one of the things we want them to do is take care of their body.
Before we go, let's talk a little bit about 21st century Ford, not only across the board, but here. And your roof, for example, that's really cool.
Yep. You know, Bill Ford Jr. really had a vision of what manufacturing can be. He has a vision of what mobility can be in general, but really looking at manufacturing here. And he said, how do we build America's best-selling vehicle in a place that will inspire people from the place? So this building is covered by a 10.4-acre living roof. We're cleaning water. We've got birds that are nesting here. you know, we've got sunlight pouring into the factory. It's a very different type of manufacturing than what you would imagine.
Are there some economic benefits that come back to Ford because
of that? Oh, absolutely, there's economic benefits. So the roof is going to extend the life of our roof at least twice as long, so it'll save us a lot of money. Our porous parking lots, where we let the rainwater go through it and the snow melt through it, one of the things that that means is we don't have to use as much salt to melt the ice in the winter. So it's huge benefits for us across the site.
Very, very cool. Well, I'm going to have to come back
Absolutely. For
a longer tour. This has been great, though.
Absolutely.
Cynthia, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a great pleasure to host you.
A website somebody could go to see more, learn more.
I would encourage them to go to the museum's website, thehenryford.org. You can see all of our venues, including the factory tour. And one of the coolest things, you can go inside our online collections. You can see almost 50,000 pieces of our collection online. You can go inside our vehicles. You can go behind the scenes. You can see historic photos. It's amazing.
So you don't have to come to Dearborn, Detroit.
Well, you know, I mean, I still want you to come to Dearborn because I think it's different in person.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you can, you know, get started online.
Very, very cool. Thanks again.
Thank you.
From all of us at the Rouge, we thank you for joining us today. Please gather your belongings.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.
The underbed music and sound clips are courtesy of the Ford Motor Company.